0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of European action. Celtic can seal Europa League progression by beating Utrecht at Celtic Park tonight. Rangers are already out, but they're away to Porto in their final league face match. And things are heating up in the transfer market. Celtic are linked with two wingers. Hearts sign Rodgers Matto, and Kieran Bowie looks set to leave Hibs in a €6 million deal. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Jim Duffy and Gordon DL.
Well, as you quite rightly say, Andrew, a big night in Europe, especially for Celtic, in front of a packed house at Celtic Park. Great opportunity to qualify through the league stages. You look at Rangers over in Porto, big question, what sort of team will they put out there? Will it be a mixed, you know, rest a few players? Big game against Hibs on Sunday, Easter Road as well. I think they're obviously the full concentrations on the league, but still some money to be played for, you know, if you're winning points. And on the transfer market, you're looking at Celtic, you're looking at Rangers just now, maybe getting offers in for some players, which is absolutely brilliant for them because they need to get players out. But one or two of the offers that are coming in are for what Rangers fans maybe call important players now, Jim. You know, Chermiti looked like a failure. I think the Rangers fans are slowly buying in to him, especially after his two goals against Celtic Park, which makes you a hero when you're a Rangers player. Kasama's bringing some interest as well. Danilo looks like he's going the other way. But we keep saying that Celtic are linked with X, Y, and Z. I think the Celtic's supporters are saying, we want to see bodies in, we want to see the scarves above the head. Be interested to see what happens in the next few days.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if we'll be able to sort of park the transfer talk at any point tonight, but despite the fact there's big European games on, you can never get away from what's happening in the transfer window, especially so close to the deadline.
Yeah, so close to the deadline, and obviously, you know, Celtic, it's like pulling teeth when it comes to, you know, transfers at this moment in time. It's very painful for the fans, you know, so you know, the Rangers game tonight is not as important. Maybe, you know, just in terms of keeping that confidence going, keep that momentum. So from that perspective, Danny Rowe will want a good performance, but ultimately they can't qualify with a Celtic at home. A fantastic opportunity tonight if they get a big performance and a good result. So that can definitely help keep the atmosphere buoyant, because there is still that disappointment, that's still that frustration in amongst the Celtic fans. You know, everybody, you know, knows that Celtic have needed players for months and months and months, Andrew. And to be honest with you, it is quite shocking that they haven't got key players in yet, with a centre-back, striker. I mean, there's always talk about wingers. It always seems to be wingers. But it's other areas of the pitch they need quality in. And I'm sure, as I said, regardless of what happens tonight, and let's hope that is a big result from Celtic, but regardless of what happens, I think the transfer situation or lack of transfer activity will still be the biggest talking point for many Celtic fans.
0141 951 1025. Normally on these Thursdays we have a bit of an awkward one, because there's normally an early kickoff which is already underway, then there's a later kickoff to build up to, but all 8 o'clock kickoffs in the Europa League tonight, which means we can do the build up for both the big matches. Maybe you're on your way to Celtic Park and you want to tell us who you think should play in this game tonight, what your confidence levels are looking like. 0141 951 1025. Who knows, maybe you're listening from over in Portugal building up to that game between Porto and Rangers. We'd love to hear from you as well. 0141 951 1025. Maybe it is transfers that are on your mind. As we say, there are some new links towards Celtic today. Is that promising for you Celtic fans? Are you still concerned at the fact that the window is closing in just a few days' time and there hasn't been too much in the way of activity? Rangers fans, a few names been linked in the way and out the way as well. How are you feeling about what business needs to be done or maybe needs to be sold in the next few days? Hearts have Rodgers Matto in the door. Maybe you're a Hibs fan, want to talk about the fact that Kieran Bowie looks to be on his way out for about €6 million as well. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now, and we want to hear exactly who you think should play for Celtic and Rangers tonight. You can be the manager up until we get the teams a bit later on. While you get your calls in, let's go around the ground, shall we, and get the first bit of build-up starting at Celtic Park. Tom Grant has the build-up for us.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European football coverage with The Drake, neighbourhood gastropub. Watch live sports in the West End of Glasgow.
In for a big night of action, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Yes, Celtic began this Europa League campaign way back on the 24th of September with a 1-1 draw away at Sverna Zvezda. And they finish it now, two managerial appointments later at the end of January, knowing a win will guarantee a top 24 finish and progression. Now, it could be argued that tonight may be a welcome distraction for Celtic fans from what is becoming a gripping but stressful domestic title race. And it will surely give Martin O'Neill a chance to give more minutes into the legs of the likes of loan signings Thomas, Svan Schara and Julio Araujo. Martin O'Neill has emphasised that Utrecht will be a dangerous opposition to face. The Dutch side arrive here in the east end of Glasgow with nothing but pride to play for. They have already exited the competition, having collected just 1 point from their opening 7 games. But O'Neill, during media duties yesterday, cited that that was a reason why not to take them lightly. Now, one name on the Utrecht team sheet who listeners may recognise, Vasily Barkas, should be in goals for the away side, making his return to Celtic Park. But head coach Ron Jans has promised to give fringe players a chance to prove themselves here tonight. Now, amazingly, this is O'Neill's first European tie at home for Celtic since 2004. That was a 0-0 Champions League draw against AC Milan. He, of course, oversaw last week's brave 2-2 draw in Bologna, but it was that ill-fated Wilfred Nancy who was in charge last time Celtic played European football here at Celtic Park. That was a defeat to Roma in what was just the second game in charge. Now, a couple of permutations for you, Andrew. If the Scottish Premiership champions draw and Ludogorets, Feyenoord and Basel all win, they will exit the competition. FCSB and Go Ahead Eagles would also finish above Celtic with 3 and 4 goal swings respectively. Excuse me. Meanwhile, a defeat for Celtic means Feyenoord and Basel both go above Martin O'Neill's side with wins, and Ludogorets would just need a draw to go above them. However, a defeat for Celtic would also mean FCSB and Go Ahead wouldn't need any goal signs to go above them. So break that one down if you can. We could be in for one of those famous Glasgow European nights here at Celtic Park. And I tell you what, if I see Kasper Schmeichel heading up for the Utrecht penalty box in the 98th minute, it will truly be edge of the seat stuff. Team news at around 7 p.m.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get anywhere near the drama of the end of that Benfica-Real Madrid game last night. I tell you what, I wouldn't mind it. It was absolutely incredible, wasn't it? But Celtic fans will be hoping that this one will be a lot more straightforward. Martin O'Neill knows that if Celtic win, pretty much through, that's it. Is it good as a player to know that, Jim?
Absolutely.
You've just got that simple task at hand. Nah. I say simple, but you know what I mean.
No. Straightforward. It's a straightforward, situation. Go and win the game, and then you qualify for the next stage. And that's all really that Martin O'Neill will be saying to his players. You know, they don't have anything else. Sometimes it's actually easier when you know you have to win. You know, if you've got the option of a draw, sometimes it can actually, you know, confuse you a little bit. You end up, you know, particularly in the latter stages, you end up sitting off the game, and then you're listening for other results, and you're a bit nervy in case you make a mistake. So, no, Celtic have to come out. Absolutely front foot, get after Utrecht. As they're saying, they don't have anything to play for. The manager said he's going to give some squad players some time. So there's no excuses for Celtic tonight. You know, they've given themselves a fantastic opportunity with a couple of performances under Martin O'Neill in between the Wilfred Nancy one, or either side of the Wilfred Nancy situation. So they've got a fantastic opportunity tonight. They can't let it slip through the grasp.
Yeah, it's going to be a completely different performance from what we saw from Celtic last week against Bologna. It was a really strong defensive performance with 10 men to come away with a draw away from home. You'd expect Celtic will fully be on the front foot tonight, Gordon.
Yeah, I think Celtic will get the job done tonight. I really do. Utrecht aren't in great form. I think they've lost their last 5 games or something. They're coming here. They're going to give fringe players an opportunity. Celtic couldn't be in a better place at home. They know, and Jim's right, forget about that draw. I would rather go out there and say, right, we know we have to go and win. It's all about being positive. It's all about being on that front foot. I think that'll happen tonight. The place will be rocking. I think Celtic will cruise through this tonight. I really do.
01419511025, Celtic fans, what are your thoughts ahead of that match tonight? We're also going to go live to Portugal right now. Gabriel Antoniazzi building up to that one between Porto and Rangers.
Yes, Andrew, good evening from the Estádio do Dragão, one of Europe's iconic arenas. It's empty now, but there'll be 50,000 fans in here shortly, a few thousand of them Rangers supporters. They've been putting up with the Portuguese stormy weather, and they're still in great spirits. Perhaps surprising, given Danny Rule's side already out of this competition, but that's of course because of their recent form. They've won 8 games in a row. They're keen to keep that momentum going. Any form of result here would be deemed a positive. Of course, it will be their last game in Europe this campaign. Their hope is the next one will be in the Champions League as champions of Scotland next season. And if they can end this competition with two wins, it would be a huge boost ahead of the rest of the domestic season. Rangers, though, face a side who are in top form themselves. Porto are guaranteed at least a playoff spot. They're ninth at the moment, so they're desperate to win to secure an automatic place in the last 16. We spoke to Danny Rule here in the stadium yesterday. I asked him what the most important thing he's looking for this evening, and he was very clear with his answer, Andrew. A clean sheet. Defensive solidity has been the backbone of this winning run, and it's also helped attract interest of several key players. They've reportedly turned down big bids for Yusuf Chimiti and Jedi Kasama, with Emmanuel Fernandez also allegedly attracting interest from big clubs. But Rule says Rangers will not sell their best players this month. He insists they want to be stronger coming out of the window, and he expects a crazy final few days in the market. They've, of course, already brought in three new signings, but they cannot play tonight. Joe Rothwell and Danilo have been left at home as they head towards the exit tour. John Suter is in the squad. He could feature. Team news will come at around 6:45.
Yeah, it's a strange one to juggle for Danny Rule, because ultimately the game doesn't mean anything in terms of Europa League progression. Rangers are already out. You mentioned there's the pride factor, the money factor there as well. Is the big thing the momentum, though?
Yeah.
Is it a case of Danny Rule not wanting to make wholesale changes? Because if you've won eight games in a row, do you want to then threaten? And look, Porto might go out and win anyway. They're a very good side. But do you want to give them a better chance of doing that?
I think it's an interesting one, right? Because they put themselves in a great position for a title just now. There's no doubt. They face, I know Hibs haven't been in form, and David Gray's come under a lot of criticism, especially getting knocked out at East End Park against Northampton. Then Falkirk ran all over the top of them at the weekend. But that's a big, big game. And I think, look, you want to keep that clean sheet. You want to keep that momentum. I think it'll be a sort of a mixture tonight. I think there'll be a few key players probably sitting on the bench. I could be totally wrong, because the only thing you've got to play for is keeping the momentum, a few quid for the points, get yourself back home, and you're looking to play.
Do you think they've got a wee bit of responsibility for the travelling fans? I mean, Gabs is saying there, you know, I mean, the amount of fans that travel, and I know, listen, they maybe booked it weeks and weeks ago when they maybe still had a slim chance somewhere along the line, and fans do travel. But I do think that clubs like Rangers, it's very difficult when you've got such a huge fan base just to almost kind of turn up and say, well, it's not really that important.
I don't think that'll be the case under the manager, because he's found a way to win and he wants to keep that habit going. What I'm saying, Jim, is I think it's not like the old days where you put in maybe six young players that played with the reserves. It's not, they've got a squad, and they've got a squad there for a reason, and they've got a big squad. So it's an opportunity to give some of these boys just to keep them ticking over as well. I'm not saying that they're going over there, because you're right, people pay a lot of money. But I'm telling you, probably Rangers fans sitting there now thinking, right, what would we rather have? Losing here and winning the Easter Road. I know what they're picking.
0141 951 1025 on the phones, whether it is tonight's matches or whether it is the transfer window. You can make your point to Gordon DL and Jim Duffy. Thomas is a Celtic fan up first in Kilsyth. Thomas, what is it that's on your mind?
Gordon and Jim, how you all doing?
Good, Thomas, thanks.
A couple of points. First point is the transfer window got, Andrew. Obviously, it shuts in a few days, and I just don't understand why Celtic are doing here. We no ambition to go and sign players and make an assault in this league. But it seems the last couple of days we've been linked with players, we've been interested in players. That's as far as it goes. I just don't understand why, what's going on here. Shakir Bowie, I heard you say, Andrew, that he's maybe going to leave Hibs. Players like that we should maybe be going for, and rather than being linked with players and been interested in players and all the rest of it, as a joke.
Yeah, Thomas is probably one of a number of frustrated Celtic fans, and Celtic may be behind the scenes doing a lot
huge
of work
number.
Trying to get, you know, transfers over the line, and they may not be happening for whatever reason, but the optics from the outside looking in, you can understand why Thomas and other Celtic fans are saying, hold on a minute, the transfer window closes on Monday night and there are only two loan signings in the door.
But it's not just this transfer window, Andrew, it's been the problem. It's been the last two before that as well. You know, so I think it's an accumulation, and it's the time, it's the disappointment, you know, of previous windows. And that's, you know, again, that's festering with a lot of Celtic fans, and there's been a lot of unrest with the fans, a disconnect with the fans and the board. And a lot is to do with the lack or poor recruitment, you know. So, yeah, they did bring in Tanetke and Balakishwa and stuff like that. But Tanetke's done okay, but, you know, Balakishwa's been really, really poor. So, you know, they have to get some positivity in, and the only way they can do that is by getting really top-class signings. But to leave it until the dying embers of the transfer window just doesn't. I just don't understand it, and I don't think any fan can. Whether you think Kieran Bowie is the answer, whether you think he's worth 6 million or whatever it happens to be, because it seems to be the fee the Hibs have agreed with Hellenius Verona. But either way, you know, Celtic should still be bringing in as the best striker they possibly can for what they can afford. It's not as if, as I said, that Martin O'Neill, you know, has been very diplomatic. He said, oh, listen, everyone's working hard, we're looking to spend money. Brendan Rodgers aired these frustrations publicly, and that again was part of the reason, I'm sure, where, you know, there was a breakdown in their relationship with the club, his relationship with the club. But you can't just keep looking at managers, you know, to motivate players and come up with something spectacular with the current group of players he's got. With the current group of players he's got, I don't think Gordon's in agreement with me, I don't think Celtic can win the league with this current group of players. So they need top class signings, and they need them in the next 48 hours.
Thomas, how many signings does Celtic need if they're going to win this league title?
3 or 4, Andrew. I think we need a defender, a couple of like midfielders, wingers, and definitely the other striker. I mean, Thiago was sold how many ages ago, and we still not.
January 2025 was last
exactly.
January.
You know what I mean? It just seems to me as the board of the doesn't want to do anything. Look at players, will do this, will do that. But I think, as you say, Jim, Brendan Rodgers was the main reason Rodgers left. He was getting fed up to the board for money per player. Don't get any player. You're right, we'll not win the league with this team.
Thomas says 3 or 4 signings are needed by Monday, given Celtic's sort of recent track record of signings. Do you realistically see that happening? Because the 3 or 4, I'm assuming, is not just guys to beef out the squad. They need to be players.
First-time players.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't. I totally agree with Thomas. In an ideal world, I think Celtic do need roughly that. But the way they've been going about their transfer windows, even last January, I don't think was great. The summer was terrible. And just now, you've got to say it's a disaster. Absolutely a disaster for them. You've got a three-way leak here. You've got Hearts, Rangers or Celtic. Hearts have lost 2 big hitters. Right away, out they go. Boom, get players. Rangers identify positions. 3 players in. Celtic are sleeping. Absolutely sleeping. So they've got, 4 days left? I think they'll get a couple in, right? But I don't think they'll get the amount that Martin O'Neill would want in the building for kicking on from Monday.
Just quickly, Thomas, does Celtic get the job done tonight?
Yeah, I think so, God. I mean, that team, they're not the best. They'll not get the best record coming. And so, ideally, it'd be good to progress in Europe, obviously, but I think we'll get the job done, hopefully.
Well, thank you to Thomas. 0141 951 1025. We'll take more of your calls next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Building up to kick-off in 2 big Europa League matches tonight. Of course, the real focus, you've got to say, is between Celtic and Utrecht, because Celtic can still qualify for the knockout playoff phase of the Europa League. We've got team news from there and from Porto for Porto against Rangers at about 6:45. So until then, you can let us know who you want to play. 0141 951 1025, or maybe it is transfers that is occupying your mind. It usually does when the deadline is not too far away. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. John is a Celtic fan in Moss Park. Up next, John, is it the Europa League or is it transfers that are occupying your mind?
Basically transfers. Hello, panel. Nearly 72 now, so I've seen the good and the bad times, but I'm really getting frustrated, as the panel have already stipulated, but how many transfers do we have to wait to the last minute? If Rangers are wanting a player, say, who I want, Masvanisi, Then we decide that we'll want him once Rangers get interested. I don't know, we've got plenty of money, why can't we sign him? If the deal is with Stephen Welsh and money, why can't we do it? And the other point I'd like to make is we definitely need a goalkeeper. Schmeichel is finished, he's nearly 40. I know we need other, but a striker and a goalkeeper, we definitely need them. We've got money, why can't you spend it? Why be penny pinching waiting to the last minute?
Is goalkeeper a priority in this window, do you feel, John? Do you think that's, that could be the difference between Celtic winning the title and not?
Well, definitely we need one, because Brendan Rodgers brought him in as a stopgap because he played with him before with Leicester, but we need a goalkeeper. Rangers have always signed good goalkeepers. Celtic have never signed a real goalkeeper for a long, long time.
See, we forget here, John, you've got to think about this. And I think a lot of Celtic fans are falling into this trap, right? They're going, Massimo say, Motherwell, right, we'll use Stephen Welsh as part of the deal. Motherwell can't afford Stephen Welsh, right? It's as simple and straightforward as that. Stephen Welsh will be on decent money at Celtic Park. Unless Stephen Welsh goes to Motherwell and says, I'll take a massive cut in my wages, he ain't going to be part of that deal. It's as simple and straightforward as that. And I know that when you sit and you go, well, hold on a minute, see, we want Stephen Welsh has been very good at Motherwell, right? And Motherwell delighted to get him back to the end of the season. Of course they would. But permanently, Stephen Welsh is on decent, a lot more money than what Motherwell can probably afford to pay.
He'd be on way more money than the highest paid Motherwell player.
Oh, miles.
Yeah, but if you want a deal done, if Celtic want Massimo, for talking sake, and Steve Welsh, then Celtic then have to then compensate Motherwell for Steve, or Stephen Welsh himself. They say, look, Stephen, we'll pay you the rest of your contract for the next whatever 18 months or 2 years, whatever. If they want to get over the line, as John has said, you know, listen, sometimes it's maybe no best practice in terms of how you would negotiate a deal, but Celtic in a situation just now where they're probably going to have to pay over the odds, whether it's for loan players, permanent players, whether it's trying to facilitate
a
deal.
To the frustration for Celtic fans, doesn't it? Because we saw that in the summer, that Celtic left deals late, and all of a sudden you end up paying what people might then say is over the odds for a player, or because teams then know you're kind of desperate when it gets to the end of the window and they want to hold out for more money because it gives them a shorter
That's the way the game is, Andrew. So therefore, that's down to Celtic's, you know, lack of preparation. I mean, Thomas and earlier on, and John said, they've had months and months to prepare for this transfer window. No matter who the manager was, whether it was Brendan Rodgers, Wilfred Nancy, or Martin O'Neill, Celtic needed, I agree with John, a goalkeeper, because Schmeichel was brought in as a stopgap. They needed a centre-back, because even if Carter Vickers was injured, they still need something. They needed a centre-forward, an absolute striker, no doubt about it. And they needed another midfielder, because when Callum McGregor's not his best, they don't have anyone else close to playing that. So they were always going to be, no matter what system you played, 3-4-3, you know, 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1, doesn't matter. Celtic needed those players. So the recruitment team, the way they go about their business, should have that ready to go for whoever the manager was in January, and that hasn't been the case. And they're now, you know, scratching their backside, waiting on, you know, the last couple of hours of a transfer window to try and bring in players. And you would imagine that the players that they are going to bring in won't be of the very top level, because those other players will have either better options or they'll wait till the summer.
Is the next few days title defining for you, John, in terms of whether Celtic can win the title or not?
Well, yeah, because we were going, it's not necessarily, but we were going for 5 in a row. We had no ambition. It was only a suggestion that maybe Motherwell were holding out for Stephen Welsh, but why not spend the big money for Massinisi? Why not get him now? I don't understand why Celtic are penny pinching and waiting to the very last minute to sign a player. I just don't get it.
I think John's right. The Celtic don't need Stephen Welsh to be in the deal. They've got money. If they want to go and get Massinisi, okay, they will pay probably over the odds, but if they want to go and get him, they can go and get him. If they wanted to go and get Kieran Bowie, they could have went and got him. I don't know what is going on with the transfer situation at Celtic, but it's an absolute disaster for Celtic fans just now. They're going along there tonight. They've got a great... I think they will get through tonight. A great opportunity tonight at home against a team that's not in great form. Go and win the game. All of a sudden, you're next stage is Europa League. And you're thinking.
But they have to help the manager. The manager's done an unbelievable job since he's been in. Martin O'Neill's done a phenomenal job. But you can't keep going to the well with the same players and squeezing every single ounce, sweat and blood out of them. And we saw that at Tynecastle, where Celtic, done everything they possibly could with the current group of players they've got. But Hearts played a different type of game. They made it, a competitive, kind of back-to-front game, and it didn't quite suit Celtic, because Celtic don't have any options to change that. And really, I think if Martin O'Neill wasn't a manager, Celtic would have definitely lost that, particularly after going down to 10 men. But all credit to him, he's getting everything he can from his group of players. But he needs help, and he needs help now.
Does Celtic have enough to get through tonight's tie, John?
Yeah, I think so, but it's so material. I'm thinking about the actual league and for next season. I need my team to show some sort of a vision, and they're not showing anything. Rangers were in the doldrums, and they're signing players, and good luck to them, honestly, and Hearts. Why can't we? I don't understand for the life of me why we just will not sign a player and spend the money. We have the money. What's the problem? It's just the fans put money into the club. Time to give us something back. There's lack of ambition. Martin O'Neill, okay, might not be there next year, but let him have at least a say in the run up to the league. We need to win this league. If we don't win the league, then it's a lack of ambition.
I totally agree with John. I'm not going against this, because I think Celtic's transfer window here right now has been terrible, right? And I totally agree with the Celtic fans, how disappointed. But if you look back, Celtic have spent money. They spent 10 million in two wingers.
It's how the money has been spent.
Exactly. Yeah. That is the big problem.
Two players just left. Shin Yamada is just went as well as the other Japanese boy that was left sided by
Hayato and Amura.
Never played. Well. They bring players in, as Gordon has said. So they're just getting shifted out of. They've had a little touch here, a little touch here. Obviously, the Blair's up in loan from Man City, put Simpson Pussy, and he's away as well. So, they're bringing guys in, but the guys haven't been good enough. I don't know if they have a complete revamp of the recruitment style system, how they go about it. But nevertheless, that's for another time. they have to bring players in now, or as John said, that lack of ambition will come back and bite them.
Well, thank you to John, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We are about 10 minutes away from team news in the two big European matches tonight. So any thoughts before that, get them in now. We'll speak to Philip, who is a Rangers fan in Knightswood. Philip, what does tonight's match mean to you? Rangers can't get through, but is it to do with, money, momentum?
Money and momentum. Still want to see them winning. Still want to win, Tano, because they've went 8 games, 9 games unbeaten. They don't want to get that bit of doubt in, I think. They're getting beat.
Momentum is such a big thing in football, isn't it? And when Rangers have put together a good run of victories, even in a game tonight where it doesn't mean anything for actual progression, how important is it that they keep that good feeling going into what is a big game at the weekend away against Hibs? A win is obviously would be massive. It doesn't necessarily need to be a win, as much as Rangers fans would want that.
Yeah.
Just a good performance, good result of some description.
Yeah, you heard the manager, a clean sheet. He's been very positive. Look, your trip home from Portugal tonight, if you go and get a good result, is a far happier trip than if you lost. Now, obviously Rangers can't qualify, but there's still that there of pride, 8 or 9 games. They're wanting to keep that going. They're getting into a massive game against Hibs. They're quietly going about their business brilliantly under this manager. Even when they're not playing well, they're finding ways to win games. You've seen them, they left it quite late against Dundee last week, but still 3-0, clean sheet as well. Of course you want to do that, and I think they'll be looking to do that tonight, but it's not the end of the world for me if they don't. And I'll be interested in 10 minutes to hear how the lineup, who's going to start, what the starting 11's going to be. Will it be a full strength team, or will he mix it in there with one or two, three of the fringe players that probably won't play at Easter Road on Sunday starting?
I mean, there are guaranteed to be changes for both Celtic and Rangers tonight because January signings can't be registered in Europe yet, so there's not going to be any Andreas Skovolsen. Tochi Chukwuane won't play either from Celtic's perspective, no Araujo, no Chvanchara. So at least that's some obvious kind of rotation there. Would you expect quite a bit beyond
that? I don't expect a lot because I think that, you know, obviously they've got one or two injuries. I mean, possibly he could change one of the centre-backs. Again, he said Aaron's in, he said Tavernier, and he's flipped him anyway. You know, whether he could play Aaron's at left back, leave Magoma out. You know, I mean, there's one or two things he can do, but I don't think it'll be wholesale changes. I still think he'll be wanting a strong defensive performance because that's what the results have been based on. Is it six or seven clean sheets they've had in the last eight or nine games? I think it's six or eight clean sheets. So, you know, Danny Rowe's got a real disciplined way of structuring these teams, and it's been successful so far domestically. But they had a good result obviously in Europe the last game, so you want to maintain that. So I think they'll be very structured, very difficult to, you know, to score against, and that's what we'll be looking for, to keep that style and that structure. And then if he gets something from the game, I think it'll be a bonus.
Philip, if Rangers are to add to the squad before Monday's deadline, where do you see that happening? What kind of position?
Yeah, I was saying we need another striker. Well, I'd like another striker, but I don't know if we'll get one on Majorski. What's his name, the striker we've got now?
Majorski.
I think we need a better striker than him. I know he's been alright, but I don't think he's worth 8 or 9 million.
It's probably less about Chirmiti and Majorski, isn't it? And more about Danilo because even, Danilo not in the squad. I think there's a suggestion he's maybe become a dad. I don't know whether it's for the first time or again, but that might be something to do with him not travelling. But there's talk about Paphos, a potential move away. If he departs, you'd fully expect Rangers sign another number nine.
Do you know something? I think Rangers in the mindset just now, even if he doesn't depart and they get the right striker, because they see an opportunity here.
If he's available, is there real availability?
I think that Rangers will spend the money and go and do it. I think Rangers are throwing everything at this, and I think that's what's disappointing the Celtic fans. They're seeing what's happened with Rangers. Rangers are going out there, they're identifying targets, they're going for them, they've got three in already. If they looked at another striker, we want you, doesn't matter if they can't get Danilo out the building. They're only interested in from now to the summer to win this league because it means so much, especially financially as well.
Well, thank you to Philip. 0141 951 1025. Team news is coming next, so get your calls in and you can be the first to react to that. And while you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids 5k a day with 101 convenience stores, open every day until 10 p.m. visit them in store or get it delivered to your home.
Maybe you've got a bit of a New Year's resolution. Maybe you're already a bit of a keen runner. We've got just the challenge for you to get involved. Clyde One's Cash for Kids are doing 5k a day all throughout February. Why not take on a daily 5k to raise money for Cash for Kids, which will make a huge difference to young lives across Glasgow and the West. That could be a good New Year's resolution for you, Gordon. 5k a day.
5k a day.
What was your wages?
I would need to be a walk 5k, and which is
you can walk. Yeah.
That's absolutely fine. Because
I've never run for about 30 years, so running's right out.
You genuinely not.
Never run. No.
Not done anything faster than walking since you retired.
No.
Genuinely quite incredible, isn't it?
Bike.
Yeah, but that's the reason why you still look so young and fit.
Walking and cycling. I don't need to run.
Just 5k inside Motherwell Asda.
Oh, well, I do that most days anyway.
Well, it doesn't matter. As we say, if you run, you walk, you jog, you can take it at your own pace. You'll be getting fit, you'll be feeling good, and even better, you'll be raising money for disadvantaged children right across our community. You can get involved at Clyde1.com. It's Cash for Kids, 5k a day with 101 convenience stores.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just about to get team news from Celtic Park for Celtic against Utrecht, and from the Estadio do Dragão for Porto against Rangers. Was going to go straight to Celtic Park to get the team news because I saw the team news flash up on Celtic official Twitter, but the badges at the top of the graphic are the Red Star Belgrade and Celtic badges, and it's got Cameron Carter-Vickers in the starting lineup, who's certainly not playing tonight. So you've got to say that's the wrong graphic that's been tweeted out. So we will go to Celtic Park shortly once we find out the actual team that has come out from Celtic Park. I think the Rangers team is just about to come out as well. So we will go there. Before we do so, let's speak to Gary, who's a Celtic fan in Blantyre. Gary, just before we get the teams, anyone that should or shouldn't be starting tonight?
Hi, good evening, lads. Andrew, Gordon and Jim, is it?
Yeah, yes. Hi, Gary.
Actually, I've not actually thought about it, to be honest with you. I'm just in for work, literally just walked in the door. So I was actually, the reason for my call was because I heard Jim talking about obviously Celtic's transfer business, or lack of. And this is, it's becoming embarrassing. Every kind of transfer window over the past couple of years is becoming more and more embarrassing. And it's becoming more and more apparent. The people in position of powers at Celtic that are controlling transfers, just know, I don't know, they seem not to have the same care for the club as what the fans have. This window in particular, after all the fan protests, etc., and the kind of the fallout over the last few months, this was the chance to go and put that right. And I actually believe that it's the Thursday before the transfer window closes, and yet again, we are doing a Celtic scrambling about at the end of the window. It's just, it doesn't seem to be anything concrete. And also the boy for Glimpse scored the winner last night in Madrid, so I take it that's going to price him out of your range, because I'd imagine there'd be another million or two put in his value after last night.
Yeah, I'll take that point, Gary, and let you back in, because Kasper Hogg, I think, is how you say his name, Bodo Glimpse striker, has scored a couple against Manchester City, didn't he? Scored against Atletico Madrid, a player that, you know, we understand Celtic do have an interest in, but it just makes it a bit more complicated that he has scored in a big game last night. It's put Bodo Glimpse through to the next round of the Champions League. So then Celtic don't know whether the situation maybe changes going into the final days, but then people will make the point, if you don't wait this late in the window to get your business done, then you don't really need to bother with that type of thing.
I mean, Gary's absolutely right. I believe Celtic could have done, if Kasper Hall is the player that they've identified as their number one target striker, you go to Bodo Glimt weeks ago, if not months ago, you agree a deal. Now they may well say, listen, when and if and when we are out of the Champions League, we will do this deal, or when the league phase is finished, then we'll do it. But you agree the deal. So if you say, let's just call it hypothetically £5 million, say, right, okay, we'll give you £5 million, and then you wait on when the player becomes available. But the deal's already done, the personal terms are done, he's had his medical, you know he's coming to Celtic. You know, Bodo Glimt are happy with the deal. You don't wait until you're in a bun fight with every other club in Europe because he scores a goal against Atletico Madrid. So I'm with Gary. I get baffled by Celtic's recruitment policy. I really don't know. I think in this day and age, with the data, the analysis, the recruitment, everything like that, it should be well advanced, way down the line of players coming in long before, as I said, the last couple of days. And you have, you know, whatever many options you have, he might be your number one striker, but you've certainly got to have maybe three or four, you know, alternatives, because you know that other clubs might come in. But if you go and get players signed up well in advance and in agreements with clubs, why can't you do that? Why couldn't have Celtic have agreed all of that well in advance of the transfer window coming up?
Gary, we may get to Tuesday morning and Celtic might have brought in three or four players that are going to transform the team and things look completely different. But is it just the timing of sort of watching this window? Is there that fear that, you know, you've seen this happen before and the outcome hasn't been that the players have, you know, got in the door in that time scale?
Andrew, this window probably is the most important window in the last number of years, because take away Europe, we've got a league title fight with another two teams, and by the minute we are probably third favourites, if you've been honest. So they need to strengthen. Rangers are strengthening, bringing in Scott Olsen, bringing in whoever else. Hearts have got players in. Hearts, but that's called strategy. See, at the minute there doesn't seem to be a strategy at Celtic. Everything seems to have just folded. So Until you've got a strategy and people in place in order to get these players kind of looked up, and like Jim says, get the business done early, get Bodo Glimt, you know, get him tied into a deal, and he signs for Celtic after the league phase has finished the Champions League. That's strategy. But that's asking a bit too much of this Celtic board. The strategy seems to be out of their kind of reach.
We'll stay on the line, Gary, because we'll get your reaction to this. Let's go to Celtic Park and get that Celtic team for tonight with Tom Grant.
Mentioned Tomáš Vančara and Julian Araújo. They, of course, are ineligible to play due to Europa League rules over January signings in the group stage, and their replacements are the only two Martin O'Neill has made from Sunday's draw with Hearts. So tonight's 11 from the start is Schmeichel in goals, Kieran Tierney, Liam Scales, Austin Trusty and Colby Donovan come in. Benjamin Negrin, Cal McGregor and Arne Engels again in the midfield. It's Dyson Maeda, Sebastian Tanetke and Yang up top. The subs bench is Sinisolo, Doohan, Balakwisha, McGowan, Iheanacho, Bernardo, Murray, Forrest, Ricardo, Ralston, Hale and Izaguzo. And Celtic have won four of the last five UEFA matches at home against Dutch teams. Can they keep that impressive run going this evening? Kickoff is at 8 o'clock.
Gary, is that the strongest possible lineup? Do you feel the only two changes from the draw at Tynecastle, two enforced ones?
It's probably the strongest lineup, but again, that tells its own story because there's players in there who, if Celtic had a depth of squad that Celtic should have, they'd probably be starting. Guys like, I know Hatate's got talent, undoubtedly, but does he show enough over the last kind of recent three? Probably not. Engels, Flowers to deceive. So I think the fact that is probably Celtic's strongest lineup they've got available, it tells its own story as well, and it shows you that we do need, again, multiple signings coming in. These players are getting the games every week, and they probably shouldn't be because there's nobody there to fight for their place, to fight them for their place. So that's the lineup you'd expect, obviously, with the two changes.
Kelechi Iheanacho on the bench. Gordon, is that a positive for Celtic?
Yeah, I've heard he's been back training well, so it is a big boost. Be interesting to see if Martin O'Neill gives them some game time tonight. The two changes is, I think we could all guess the team, to be quite honest with you. Negrin, top goal scorer for Celtic just now, that's why he's in there. He can get you a goal, terrific free kick against Hearts. You're right, Hatate hasn't been playing well at all, and then you've got the three forwards that you're hoping that can go and win you the game. Look, I agree with Gary. I think if Celtic were the Celtic of old with the transfer windows and they were doing good business and bringing in quality players, one or two of those starters tonight wouldn't have featured. But that's where Celtic are just now, and they've got to go out and get the business done. I think it's still a strong enough team to win this game.
Well, thank you to Gary. Let's go to Porto to get Rangers team news for that game. Gabriel?
Yes, Andrew, five changes from the weekend's win over Dundee. Chukwuanyi and Scott Olsen, of course, not available after joining this month. Moore, Miovski and Asgard dropped to the bench. In come Diamande, Aarons, Curtis, Gassama and Schmitty. So it's going to be a change in formation as well. Going to be a five at the back. Jack Butland in goal. Max Aarons, James Tavernier, Nasser Jigga, Emmanuel Fernandez and Jaden Magoma as that back five. Nico Rasca and Mohamed Diamande in front of them. Finlay Curtis gets a start on the wing with JD Gassama on the other flank. Yusuf Chimiti plays through the middle. The substitutes, Kelly, Wright, Suter, Kerr, Smith, Stewart, Antman, Asgard, Miovski, Moore and Gentles. Just a quick word on James Tavernier. He will become Rangers' joint most capped player ever in European competition. 109 matches it will be tonight, on par with club legend Alan McGregor. Quickly run through Porto as well. A Diogo Costa in goal. A back four of Alberto Costa, Bednarek, Kivior, Francisco Moura. Froholt, Varela and Rodrigo Moura in the middle. William Gomez and Pepe are out wide with Samu through the middle. Their big striker, number nine, is the player to look out for.
Change of shape. Do you think that is really just to do with the quality of Porto rather than anything else?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, he has tweaked it occasionally, you know, to go three at the back or five at the back, as Gabs has said there, you know. So, you know, again, we mentioned at the start, or early on in the programme, Andrew, that, you know, Rangers are a tough nut to crack. They, you know, they do make it very difficult. So if they get, you know, that shape right and to get bodies behind the ball and, you know, stifle the game, then that's what we hope to do. It's like any team getting away from home in Europe, you try and quieten the fans, the home fans, you try and take the sting out of the game and bed yourself in, and to do that, they've obviously went with the shape. So yeah, it looks almost like a 3-4-3 because you've got Finlay Curtis and Gassama either side of Chirmiti. So it looks like a 3-4-3, which will become a, you know, a 3-6-1 at times. So they'll definitely make it very difficult for Porto to play through. It'll be interesting to see how they approach the game, Porto, tonight as well.
Well, any thoughts on those team news? 0141 951 1025. Also get your calls in for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, your chance to take on Gordon DL or Jim Duffy at Beat the Pundit. All you need to do is phone 0141 951 1025 before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celtic looking for Europa League progression tonight as they take on Utrecht at home, Rangers away to Porto. We've had the team news, plenty more build-up to come ahead of those matches. 8 o'clock kickoffs, the both of them. We've been talking about the transfer window, of course, that is dominating the minds of many supporters with the deadline on Monday. So keep your thoughts coming, 0141 951 1025, and we'll speak to you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I'm worried about Gordon DL ahead of Beat the Pundit if it's going to be you that's
Why?
Playing, because you've told us that you've got a new obsession, and I don't know if you're even focusing on football anymore, whether you know what's going on, because you've told us that every single day of your life now, you're going out and buying a new jumper.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Please explain for us what's going
on. I went for a haircut yesterday, 50 yards up the road, jumped in the car, and I come home with another jumper for some reason.
How many jumpers do you think you've bought in the last 2 weeks?
14. 7 and 7, mate.
Genuinely, every day you're buying a new jumper?
I go most, nearly every day, yeah.
That is a man that has too much time in his hands.
Too much money.
Too much money in his pocket.
Ah, exactly.
And
new jumper.
And it's incredible. I don't know what it is. I think it's just the fact that you go now and you're thinking, I'm a bit bored during the day waiting for it to come in tonight, so I'll go do
too
a bit
much
of
time in your hands.
Yeah, probably, Jim.
Do you volunteer for something? Do something?
Oh, listen,
you know,
they don't need to. I'm not volunteer for anything. they don't need to be expensive jumpers. You know, I like to go in and shop.
Bargain hunt.
Yeah. I like to go in and shop so that, you know, I'm looking at, I'm old fashioned. I don't do all online. Know how people do a lot of shopping online. I like to get into the shops and I like to walk about, have a look. By the way, I'll tell you, I went, you know, I love going to Asda. Bought a couple of jumpers at Asda.
Imagine getting to the point in your life where the biggest concern of your day, the biggest worry you've got is, wonder what jumper I'm going to buy today.
It's colours.
Some life. Right, Nicola, we are talking nonsense. Nicola is going to be playing Beat the Pundit against either Gordon DL or Jim Duffy. Have you played before, Nicola?
I have, you.
Who did you play against?
I played Matt Wilson.
How did you get on?
I get 4-5. Sorry, 5-4.
That's not
Nicola,
too bad.
That's good.
That's,
you get four, you're doing
alright,
Nicola.
You get three tonight, I think you'll be okay.
Who would you rather face, Jim or Gordon?
Gordon.
Oh, Nicola, hold on. I've seen your Motherwell.
Oh, have you seen Gordon about buying jumpers in the local area?
Whereabouts in Motherwell, just roughly?
Please don't give away your full address, Nicola.
What?
I won't tell you my address. He knows I stay across his sister.
Right. Oh, do you? Well, I'll tell you what. See if you win tonight, Nicola, I'll bring your ball or your coin to you, okay?
You did that the last time and you didn't.
I cannot, because
it's not the first time.
Nicola's lost the last time.
You lost the last time, so how can I bring you something?
Because my man won.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Definitely, if you beat either Jim or I tonight, I will bring that. In fact, I'll drop it off tomorrow for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that in writing as well.
Aye, because I'm picking my sister up tomorrow. I'll drop
before
it off
before he goes to his jumper.
Aye, sister's jumper, Nicholas.
What's that?
Before you go to Asda and get a holiday jumper.
Aye, before I've done Asda. I'll be probably Tesco next for the next jumper.
Right, it will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Jim Duffy. It will be the red side for Gordon DL. And it is the blue side for Jim Duffy.
Come on, Nicola.
So
let's go, Jim.
We will put something else in the ear of Jim Duffy, so he cannot hear us. You know the rules, Nicola, but it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if you're struggling to save yourself a bit of time. Is that all good?
All good. Thank you.
Let's go for it.
Let's go.
Which former Celtic player now plays for Utrecht?
Pass.
Which outfield Rangers player has played the most minutes in the Europa League this season?
Kasama.
Scotland's Andy Irving has joined Sparta Prague from which English Premier League club?
Preston.
Who won Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month for December?
Preston.
How many times have Hearts beaten Celtic and Rangers this season?
Three. Four.
Who scored more league goals this season, Elliot Watt or Tony Watt?
Tony.
Okay, we will bring Jim Duffy back in. Can you hear us, Jim?
Yes.
30 seconds on the clock. Let's go. Which former Celtic player now plays for Utrecht?
Barker.
Which outfield Rangers player has played the most minutes in the Europa League this season?
Fernandes.
Scotland's Andy Irving has joined Sparta Prague from which English Premier League side?
West Ham.
Who won the Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month for December?
Motherwell manager. Can't pass.
How many times have Hearts beaten Celtic and Rangers this season?
Celtic and Rangers, four.
Who scored more league goals this season, Elliot Watt or Tony Watt?
Tony Watt.
You were right with the Motherwell manager, mate.
I know.
Nicola, how do you think that went?
I think he's just beat me.
Oh, Nicola.
I know, I was dying to see you.
Oh, listen, I'll come in for a cup of tea.
Right, we'll go through them and see how you got on. Which former Celtic player now plays for Utrecht? Nicola passed that one. You went for Vasilis Barkas, which is the correct answer. He is in goal for Utrecht tonight. So it is 1-0 to Jim.
Nicola, have you been listening to the show tonight?
I haven't, actually.
Ah, if you'd have listened to the show, it was mentioned.
That's the reason I go there, I tell you that.
Which outfield Rangers player has played the most minutes in the Europa League this season? You went for Emmanuel Fernandes. Remember, he wasn't playing really in the early stages of the campaign. Nicola went for Gassama, who is second. Raskin. You would have gone for...
Raskin.
It is Raskin. Raskin. It is Nicholas Raskin, but it is 1-0 still to Jim Duffy. Scotland's Andy Irving has joined Sparta Prague from which English Premier League club? It is West Ham. Jim Duffy got it. Nicola didn't, so it goes 2-0. Nicola, I'm going to need some honesty from you here because I didn't quite make out your answer. What did you say for who won Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month for December?
I'll give you that. I won't take the Motherwell manager
from Jim Duffy because I would expect that he would know, but time pressure and all that. But it goes 2-1 to Jim Duffy. How many times have Hearts beaten Celtic and Rangers this season? Unlucky for Nicola because she said three and instantly corrected herself and said four, but I have to take her first answer. Jim Duffy said four, so it is 3-1 to Jim Duffy. Who scored more league goals this season, Elliot Watt or Tony Watt? Elliot Watt has four, Tony Watt has five. You both said Tony Watt, and
Nicola.
It is 4-2 to Jim Duffy. Unlucky Nicola. The one bonus
is that it means
Gordon DL will not be coming anywhere near your house, so you're a winner in that sense.
If you would have played Daz, you would have won 4-1.
I've got no doubt you're a winner. Raskin, everything.
Raskin was the only one you got.
Nicola, I'll nip in for a cup of tea and a jammy Dodger hen, okay?
That's brilliant. Cheers. Take care, everybody. Nicola, who do you support? Celtic.
Nah, I'll probably no nip in for a cup of tea and a jammy Dodger.
How are you feeling ahead of the game tonight?
Positive.
Yeah, you think in terms of the January transfer window, do you share the frustrations of the other fans we've had on this evening?
Yes. I definitely think they're using Martin O'Neill to calm the fans. He's coming out and doing a lot of talking. I don't think he'll be able to do it for much longer because the fans are getting so frustrated.
Yeah, I agree with Nicola.
Yeah, I mean, Martin O'Neill, it seemed as if he was in quite an awkward position before Celtic signed Thomas Chanchara because there was so much talk about Celtic's lack of signings and no one coming in the door. But as soon as Chanchara was signed, it almost kind of then just went back to square one again, where he's going to have to field more questions about signings and who's coming in. And he obviously answered some questions yesterday. But there's only so much Martin O'Neill can really say when there isn't anyone holding a scarf above their head.
No, you have to wait till Monday because that's only when, you know, you'll find out exactly the situation. I mean, Martin O'Neill has said, like, the club are working hard. It's, you know, they are trying to spend. You know, they're quite far down the line with a couple of players. I'm sure they will get ones in, but it's where the players are good enough and competitive enough and ready. I mean, and the other thing is, Martin's been there obviously for a couple of weeks now. They should have had the players in so that Martin can bed them in. You know, you've already lost probably the best part of 3 weeks in this transfer window where the players should be getting in to adapt. It's going to be, not every player just hits the ground running, and really, if they are good players, it takes some time. And it's a crucial part of the season. Rangers are up to speed, Hearts are up to speed, Celtic are still trying to get up to speed. So you bring new players in, throw them into the mix. It doesn't automatically all click, but nevertheless they still need them. They should have been done earlier. I think there will be a couple, but it does look like wingers again, and I'm not quite sure if that's the area that they should be focusing on.
No, do you not think that are other areas the priority? Yeah. I should say, is that
they still need players, but they need players in a number of areas, but the priority positions for me were centre back and striker. That's the two. If you're just really,
even with Thomas Trinchera in, you feel another striker's needed.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a player who again will have to adapt himself, get himself up to speed. So you need another one. So so you can complement him or supplement him for if he's needing a breather, or you play him for an hour, the other one in for half an hour, etc. But No, Celtic need strength and depth in those areas. And then if they can add other players, midfield, wide players, goalkeeper, that's fine. But the two priority positions for me were striker and centre-back.
Yeah, Faris Skajemis is the latest name linked, crossing on winger who plays in Serie B, I think has 8 league goals this season. Seems to be a player that Celtic are interested in. You wonder if that is the type of signing, and look, I won't lie, I've got no idea whether he is good or not, whether he'll be a good signing or not. He may well turn out to be. Is that the type of signing that Celtic fans might then question and say, is that the level, is that the pedigree
that
they're going
project?
For? Because you look at what happened in the summer with Sebastian Tenekte, who's really yet to properly get going at Celtic, Balakwisha, who's struggled to get on the bench at times. Would Celtic fans want someone with a bit more pedigree, a bit more experience at a higher level?
They probably would, but the most important thing is, even if you do bring that player in, you can't guarantee he's going to be a success. So you'll only be judged when you bring him in and he's given game time, and that's when he'll be judged. He might come in and light up the place. I'm a bit like Jim. I'm surprised it's every time Celtic go for a player now, it seems to be a wide player for some reason. I do still think they need a wide player, because I think if you're going to kick on, then Yang for me is a sort of a squad player, but he's doing well just now. Martin Neal's probably getting the best out of him as he possibly could. I totally agree. I think they're very short at the back. You know, I think the centre-half position, very short indeed. You're looking at left-back position as well. Kieran Tierney's, you know, struggling to finish 90 minutes there at the weekend, and he's had that since he's come back.
So that's his back training.
Yeah, well, you know, so and I like him. I think he's good, but he needs to get back quickly. So there's a couple of positions, and I think Jim makes a good point there. See the fact that when Callum McGregor is maybe off for him just now, Negrin is scoring goals, right? You've got to give him credit for it, and I think that's why he's in tonight. But if you look at Ingles, you look at the form of Hatate, it's not really that great. So I think a good 3 players coming in would certainly help Martin O'Neill. Not for the fact that you're going, oh, hold on, we've got a good starting 11. You're going if you're still in Europe, which I expect Celtic to be tonight, you've still got a lot of games coming. There are injuries, there's suspensions. They've not got the quality to handle that just now for me.
Mikey is a Celtic fan up next. Mikey, what is it that's at the front of your mind at the moment as a Celtic fan?
Celtic, they're spending money, but they're not spending it on the right players. I think they need to go and find a young player that would fit the style of play at Celtic.
Have you got anybody in mind, Mikey?
Probably like a young guy in England.
Mikey, what position are you talking?
Striker.
Yeah.
Does that, I mean, with Shin Yamada leaving, does that just leave another gap? Yes, Thomas Trinchera's come in, Kelechi Iheanacho is back, fit, back on the bench, but we saw the fact that when he came back from his last injury, he got injured again very quickly. Dyson Maeda can play through the middle.
Johnny Kenny's obviously there.
Yeah, Johnny Kenny, who's injured at the moment as well, on his way back. Is it more to do with the quality of the options rather than the numbers?
Is it Osman?
Yeah, he's still injured. Yeah, he's a long-term injury.
Yeah, I think he had an operation, you know. But the thing is, Mikey's right. Celtic, you know, there are some talented players. I mean, obviously, Rangers brought Mikey Murphy, Tottenham, you know what I mean? So there are some young, talented players down south that I'm sure Celtic could have gotten loan, you know, from some of the clubs. Like Callum Osmond, for talking sake, you know, we didn't see much of him. But there are players down there. They have huge squads. They put a lot of players out, you know, on loan. There was talk about, was it Fofana at Chelsea? I think it was one of the young players they were talking about looking at, and hit seemed to be going somewhere and then obviously disappeared again. So that there are young players, Mikey, that Celtic, I think, you know, could be looking at down south, and I think it is a market that they could come up here and do well. But again, like a number of situations, they don't seem to be, you know, pressing their foot down an accelerator to get over the line. But they might surprise us over the next 2 days. We don't really know, but I think for Celtic fans, yeah, I think the frustration is turning into just more than disappointment. You know, I think that there is a degree of anger now that a club of Celtic stature can't get key players in a lot earlier than they seem to be currently at.
Thank you to Mikey. 01419511025. More of your calls to come, and we'll continue the build up to tonight's two big matches.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Around 35 minutes or so to go until kick-off in the two European matches involving Scottish teams tonight. Celtic at home to Utrecht, looking to progress to the knockout phase of the Europa League. Rangers are out, but it is a tie against Porto over in Portugal. So any thoughts ahead of those matches? 01419511025. As always, at this time of year, we're talking about the transfer window as well. So any thoughts on that? It is the same number. Get your calls lined up, and I will set up a teaser for Gordon DL and Jim Duffy. Thanks to Gerard in Motherwell for this one. And I think Gerard has specifically sent this one in to wind you up, because you lost Beat the Pundit earlier on in the week. Is that right?
Yeah.
And who was the, there was a player down south that thwarted you?
Barry Bannon.
I thought he left. Yeah, it's a Barry Bannon themed teaser for
right,
you.
Okay.
Can you name the seven players who have played the most games with Barry Bannon and also played for an Old Firm side at any point in their career? So you're looking for guys that have played with Barry Bannon and played with either Celtic or Rangers.
Wow. That was a question.
Well, Sheffield Wednesday. So the fullback.
My goodness.
Good start.
Barry Bannon.
Sheffield. He's played most of his career.
What's even better as well is that since you lost Beat the Pundit, mm-hmm. he has moved to Millwall. He has completed that move.
I still got it wrong because I went Patterson.
Yeah.
Paul Hartley
is not on the list. No,
he's not played for Sheffield United.
He's played for Millwall.
He's not played for Millwall yet.
He's signed for Millwall though, isn't he?
He's played the most number of games with Barry Bannon.
Oh, with him.
And also played for Celtic Rangers.
Sorry, I'm just thinking connecting the clubs there.
No. So they have to have played with Barry Bannon, right, but also have played for either Celtic or Rangers in the career.
With him.
Who came for Rangers?
Despite the fact that I've now explained the teaser, we've still not even got close to getting an answer.
Got two in my head and I can see them, but I can't remember them.
No, I don't know. You have to just...
Right, I'm going to let you think, and we'll bring in Grant, who is a Rangers fan in Prestwick. Grant, how are you feeling about tonight's game, first and foremost?
I think they'll do well to get a draw tonight. It's a hard game. See a couple of fringe players kind of starting, Curtis, and that's good. I think they're kind of focusing mainly on Sunday. If we can keep the kind of winning the games in the league, that kind of keeps his favourites with Hearts, obviously. You touched on a point there,
Grant. I'll let you come back in. Finlay Curtis is an interesting one, isn't it? Because by all accounts, it seems he is going on loan to Kilmarnock, was going on loan to Kilmarnock, may well happen before the deadline. But he stayed at Rangers and he's played and he's starting a game in Europe tonight. Yeah. I don't think many people expected that he would still be at the club and still be playing when that all seemed to have been agreed.
It is a bit strange, especially when Kilmarnock are desperate for fresh blood, new players in there. I like Finlay Curtis. I think, okay, I know it was Annan. I thought when he went to the right hand side, I thought he was a real threat. I love the way he's just positive. Every time he gets a ball, he's always thinking, going forward, can he score? Can he create? I think he's a very, very good talent. If he's not going to play a lot of games with Rangers from now to the running, then I think going to Kamarnock is a good move for him to go out there and play football. I think he'll only benefit for it. I think Rangers will benefit for it as well. I think he's got a good future in front of him. I'm delighted he's getting a start tonight. I really am. You might just find that if he goes and really performs, maybe Kamarnock should have had that signature on that contract already.
Sorry, Grant, what was your next point you were about to make?
Oh, okay, our next point is... Every night after I listen to the show and you're getting the Celtic fans on saying we need to sign this, we need to sign that, get the signings in. I really think Hearts and Rangers, especially Hearts, Hearts are doing their business very quiet. Hearts have got a settled squad, they know how to play with each other. Rangers are getting that way. But Celtic, if they bring 3, 4, 5 guys in, what's saying these guys are going to win Celtic the league? It takes some time to gel with the manager. It takes some time to gel with other players. It's kind of starting all over again. Yes, if they're kind of pre-season, then they've got a really good chance. But I really think the Celtic squad is big enough and should be big enough to deal with the league. They've got been hurt with injuries and stuff, but they can't just expect to bring 4 or 5 players in the January window and, oh, we're going to win the league. It just doesn't work that way. And that's why I think Hearts and Rangers, they're favourites just now because their squad is settled and... they're on a wee run, so they are.
Yeah, I agree with you, Grant. I think you're right. I mean, Danny Rowles had time to bed his ideas in. Derek McInnes obviously has done it since the start of the season. The recruitment side of it from both clubs has been significantly better, particularly when it comes to Rangers recently. You know, I mean, obviously Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart lost their jobs, and it's interesting how the kind of Chirmity situation is turned around as well, Grant. You know, because you know a lot of the criticism that those guys got was down to him, his signing, and one or two others. But you know, Gassama now looks as if he's a positive signing. Obviously, Chirmity now has improved. The Rangers looking to turn down 13 million. I think if that was the case a couple of months ago, the Rangers fans had been driving, to Fernabash to get that deal over the line. But now they're thinking, wait a minute, we don't want to accept that. So, credit is due. The Danny Rowe has done a terrific job in getting that side. Winning games, clean sheets, very difficult to play. Derek McInnes, outstanding manager anyway, and now really in the race with Hearts. And I agree with you when we mentioned earlier on, Celtic bring players in. Even if they do bring players in, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything will click, but what it does do is it gives them strength and depth, and they're badly lacking in that just now. Partly down to injuries to Jota, obviously Carter Vickers, Alistair Johnson, Iheanacho. There's a lot of players, key players that would have maybe normally starting the games, but nevertheless, I agree with you. It will take a bit of time. It's not automatic if you bring players in that Celtic will go and win the league. I think it'll go to the very last week this season to see who actually lifts the
team. Were the three teams in the run?
Possibly three, but I just think what two or three, I'm not sure, but I think it'll go right down to the wire, Gordon. I think
2 or 3 helicopters up in the sky.
Well, I think they might need a couple of people
passing over a trophy.
Exactly, aye. one part at South Queensferry or something like that. But no, it's brilliant. It's brilliant for the game. Yeah, it's not, supporters don't like it, but for anyone outside, it's brilliant to have a title challenge, and we certainly have that this year.
Grant, do Rangers need any more signings, do you feel?
I think the kind of board now is showing them a kind of bit of confidence in keeping Chirmity in that. I think they're sold. I would like another striker in. Definitely a striker that actually guarantees maybe 10, 15 goals towards now at the end of the season. But Chirmity is, I think he's work in progress. Rangers manager is getting the best out of him, but he is work in progress. I think if Rangers do keep him for another season or two and he starts hitting the goals in, Rangers will get their money back and a bit more for him. But if we could get another striker, and I think for next season I would love a new goalkeeper, because I think Butland, as much as he is the shot saving and stuff, he's a bit prone to mistake at times. So a striker for the new season starting a goalkeeper.
Look, I think basically any team in the world would love a striker in January that would guarantee 10 to 15 goals before the end of the season. For Rangers, is the sort of lowest bar for a striker coming in at this point is that they offer more than Danilo, essentially, because if he's leaving the club, which looks quite likely, if Rangers can get someone in that is going to contribute more, be able to play more games, score more goals, just be more effective essentially across the next 5 months, is that really the sort of lowest bar of what Rangers needs?
I just think it's a different type of striker. I think if you've got Chermiti, he's tall, he's physical, he holds the play up, he does play in channels at times, he doesn't look a natural goal scorer, certainly not at the moment, although I'm sure he'll score a good number of goals between now and the end of the season. And as Grant said, he will improve. There's no doubt, and he is improving. Mijofsky's more a kind of penalty box player, Gordon, you know what I mean? So you maybe need somebody that stretches defenders, maybe somebody with pace, somebody that can maybe create space by runs in behind, a different type of striker. So, you know, somebody like that, if, and again, he might not be prolific, but he opens up the game, which maybe allows then, you know, midfield players or wide players to capitalise. Because I think Rangers still need more goals from those areas.
Well, they certainly do, because Chermiti, you're talking about, the centre-half has got more goals than him. He's got 4. Fernandez got 5. You know, and you're a number 9. You're getting an opportunity. It's not like you're not playing most weeks now. So he's got to up his game, as you say, Jim. He's got to start finding the back end. It doesn't matter that the supporters are looking, thinking, yeah, he's given us a bit more, but... You know,
he has improved. Yeah, he has improved. There's no doubt about that.
But you will be judged on bang the goals in. And if he can find that for him, then Rangers are a real threat. Because I think whoever gets a striker in and you can create the chances and he starts banging the goals in, I think you become favourites to go and win this league. Right? I really do. So I would be Danilo out and another striker in to put a bit of pressure on the two it's there.
Can you see the logic in Ryan Nadiri, who's the striker in the third tier of Hansa Rostock? He's at the third tier of German football. He's what, 6'4", 6'5". Rangers are a real threat from set pieces. You talk about Emmanuel Fernandez. Think that could be a big part of why Rangers think he is the right profile to come in and score goals.
Yeah, and Danny Rowe likes to play the kind of 4-3-3 with the two wingers, so get balls in the box. And if you've got, again, I said to you, a different type of, you know, maybe a more of a target man type of striker, Chermiti, although he's a big and powerful, he likes to play, he likes to come and link up the play. But if you maybe just think, yeah, but let's get the ball in the box. If people sit in a low block and you can't get round them, then what you can do is you can miss it out by getting the ball in the box. And I think we've got to, you know, put things in perspective in Scottish football. We can't go and get teams from maybe, you know, the Bundesliga, you know, the top level. So like Celtic just now looking at maybe a second tier Italian league.
Which, by the way, just to sort of interject on that, Nicolo Shira, who's an Italian journalist, has tweeted this evening saying that Frosinone have asked for 7.3 million euros for him. His name's Faris Gagemis. Says the talks with Celtic are currently stalled because Celtic think that request is too high, which is another thing. And whether it is too much, whether Celtic would be paying over the odds at that, it's still just the optics of it, that, you know, a name has maybe got out there that Celtic might be interested in, and then the next thing Celtic fans hear within hours is Celtic aren't willing to pay the fee that the club
wants. If you're the Italian club, you know that Celtic are desperate. If you've done your homework, you're thinking, let's ask for as much as possible and get as close to that figure as we can, even if Celtic do come in and negotiate. But, you know, from Rangers' perspective, we're talking the other one, and the striker from Hansa Rostock, you know, he just, as I say, we've got to put things in perspective here, and you've got to look at the whole market and say, right, can we bring in someone that maybe other teams are going to wait on and maybe look to see how he develops over the next year or two? They bring him into Scottish football, does well. Celtic done it for years, that kind of type of transfer policy. You know, the likes of a Matt O'Reilly got him up from England, you know, got him up there originally, and then, you know, became an absolute star up here, selling for 25 million. There's been a number of situations Celtic have done that with over the years, and I think Rangers are looking to get down that route as well now, that type of model. You know, from Celtic's perspective, getting a winger from second tier Italian football, I mean, again, and that's what I said earlier on, Celtic fans are wanting someone they can identify
but
with.
But when you leave it
they're needing a big name.
Yeah, but when you leave it so late in the transfer window, Jim, you're opening yourself up to clubs holding for ransom.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what's happening with Celtic just now.
Well, thank you to Grant. What about John, who's a Celtic fan in Coatbridge? How are you tonight, John?
Hi, guys. Hi, Dazza, Jim.
Hi, John.
Andrew. Before I make my point, Jim, I spoke to this. I'm not trying to butter you up, mate. I think you would do a good job, Jim, as a recruitment. You know what I mean? As a talent spotter, you know what I mean? Because some of these guys that have been in this Tisdale, I've never heard of these guys. I think you would do a good job, Jim. So that's one of the things I would like. I'd like you to get in there and answer, mate. So I would.
No, listen, I don't need a job, but I do think I could do a job for that. Not me, I'm chief for Celtic, but because... I think you know the market, you know the players, you know the levels, and I'm saying it's like, you know, I'm saying guys like me, guys have been in the game for a while, or you know, it's because you're aware of the standards that Celtic require, the style, what's acceptable, or how do you cope with playing for Celtic, the demands of playing for Celtic. You know, whether it's on the pitch, off the pitch, lifestyle, the media spotlight on you, all these type of things, the character needed. And I think these are all things that's sometimes difficult to get just from analysis, you know, just from data. And I think that there is room for, as I said, I'm not saying me personally, but people like that, you know, guys maybe like myself, who understand what's required or what's needed to play for Celtic. And I think that, listen, I don't know the Celtic recruitment background. I know Tosh is there, Tosh McKinley. I don't know the ins and outs. So you know, I may be doing him a disservice, but I do think that there's elements that seem obviously that are not quite clicking, or else if they were, they would have had players done and dusted by now.
What was your next point you wanted to make, John?
Just the point about Arne Engels. The first that boy came in, I thought he was going to be a player, but I watched him the last couple of games, and to me, he's not getting the heart and fight for his title running. The first 10-15 minutes he was all right, and then he just petered out the game. I just think if there is a bid in for that guy, I know there's been talk about a Bundesliga, I'd be Leipzig. I think if there's a bid in for him, obviously, but the board are not wanting to spend money, so the midfielders in there, like your Bernardo's and Luke McCown, especially McCown. McCown will put a fight in for you. So if I think if the money was there, I would get ready. Would you call it Engels solid?
Can Celtic afford to lose players in the final days of the window? Does it just give them more work to do coming in?
Yeah, I think that you've just got to concentrate in the here and now. If it happens in the summer, I think then that's a different question. You could answer that in the summer. I don't think you can go and do it just now. I totally agree with John. When he came in at first, I thought, oh, this boy's got real talent. He'll go on to be a real top player. I think he's got everything to achieve that, but his form goes up and then it dips and it's up and it dips, and he's got to get a bit of consistency as the studio falls apart round about us. So it'll be interesting to see, but I don't think Celtic can afford right now, especially with the fact they're trying to get people in, to let somebody let Ingles go.
Well, thank you to John. Right, so we know that Jim Duffy can be a head of recruitment, but can he name of the seven players who have played the most games with Barry Bannon, who have also played for Celtic Rangers at some point
Josh
in their career?
Windass.
Josh Windass is top of the pile, 164 games with Barry
Sterling
Bannon.
Did Sterling play at Sheffield Wednesday?
No.
Did he join Sterling?
No, he didn't. No.
Did you know that one of the Rangers players played?
Josh Windass was the only one I could think of. I can't think of anyone else.
There's a full back right back there, isn't there? There's a right back there.
There is a right back, but I don't think it's the one you're thinking of.
No, it is.
I'm not sure it is.
That played
with George. I'll tell you if I'm thinking.
Right, we'll give you more thinking time and more of your calls next. We'll go back around the grounds too.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. You can have the final say ahead of kickoff. Two big games in the Europa League tonight. Celtic hosting Utrecht in that competition, and it's Rangers away to Porto. So get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. We'll get more answers on the teaser from these two after I tell you about this.
Clyde One.
Imagine starting the weekend £350,000 richer. Tomorrow is the day that that dream could come a reality. It's the payday you have been dreaming of. Get yourself in the draw for your chance to win £350,000 on Make Me a Winner. To enter, text YES to 61025. Text £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will also find the rules for this network competition, or you can call 03434 269 340. All calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and the clock is ticking. Lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and all you need to do, if you get the call, is just answer it. Simple as that. £350,000 will be yours. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now. The clock is ticking on that. The clock is ticking on your full-time teaser as well, because you're not doing very well on it. Can you name the seven players who have played the most games with Barry Bannon in their career, but also played with Celtic and Rangers? You have so far Josh Windass.
Right, okay, go on, Jim.
Right, we've got two, which I think, Gary Hooper.
Correct, he was at Sheffield Wednesday, played 75 games in total
and
together.
Gassama.
Jadon Gassama, of course, one of the more obvious ones, you'd say, still playing his football at one. Rangers.
And the one we should have got. Ross Wallace?
Ross Wallace, yes. He is second behind Josh Windass. So you've got the top four. Three more to get.
Three?
Yeah.
Oh. We're going to need clues, I think, Andrew.
I think you might do. All names that you'll know, but yeah, you just need to work out the links. And it's for three different teams.
So Sheffield Wednesday, Villa
and Blackpool. Leave you with that. Right, we will go back Charlie around Adam. The grounds shortly. Charlie Adam, there we go. Two more to get. John is a Motherwell fan in Motherwell. What is on your mind ahead of Monday's deadline?
Hi guys, it's more the perspective of Motherwell. I hear a lot of people talking about the Old Firm should go in and sign Masfenisi, but what is the incentive for Motherwell to sell? His value will not drop until the summer, so the money that will be an offer, surely that will be in the summer too. Even if he scores 5-6 more goals, then the value can only rise. And they did the same with Lennon Miller, and they got good money in the summer there. So money, I don't really see as an incentive to sell what their best player just now.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, John, and I totally agree. Motherwell don't want to let Masfenisi go. He's been absolutely brilliant. But there might be things in contracts. He might have been made a promise when he came in. You know, if you do well, we'll no stand in your way. We've heard that before. It might be an offer that Motherwell look at just now and think, we can't refuse that, right? Because we know that clubs are desperate and they might pay over the odds. Also, you run a risk of, you might get to the summer, maybe an injury or whatever it may be, loss of form. But he's certainly a talent. I'm very surprised that one or two of the big clubs, Rangers and Celtic, haven't, because he can play not just as a centre forward and a goal scorer, he can play off the wide area as well. So he'd be a great addition to the squad. I know what John's saying. You take the chance, you get to the summer, he could bang in another right few goals, his price could go up. But you've just got to weigh up all the situation, and then you've got the player himself, that if he hears that, then you know what like it is, Jim. All of a sudden, he's looking, thinking, yeah, I love my time at Motherwell, they've been great for me, but my opportunity might not come along again to go and play with Celtic or Rangers.
Yeah, once
or
a lifetime, you can't deny the boy that. But the thing is, John, if let's just call it 2 or 3 million, for talking sake, if you just say, we don't know what kind of price, but let's just say it was a couple of million, then Motherwell have got to weigh that up and say, right, would we manage to, you know, qualify for Europe? If we did, you know, what kind of returns would that get? You know, where could we finish in the league? Is it worth that? And in Scottish football, sadly, it's not. It's not worth millions of pounds. So therefore, you know, if somebody come in and put that transfer fee down, then the club do have a decision to make, and the player would have a decision to make, and there is a risk, as Gordon says, he could get an injury, he could lose form. There's a number of, the manager is going to be high in demand just now. He could move, you know, somebody could come in and take him. So there's a number of factors that a player then has to just look at himself and think, this is the best opportunity for me. And you, when your stock's high, you've got to take advantage of that. And Masfenisi's stock is very high. So if an opportunity come up for the player, I mean, I wouldn't say he'd quadruple, he'd probably 10 times his salary if he went to Celtic, you know, and you know, that would be unbelievable if that was denied to the player. And sometimes you can lose the player as well, because he can get disenchanted, he can go off form, he can think that he might never get that chance again. So there's a number of factors, not just the fact that Motherwell should hold out and take the risk in the summer.
How vital is he, do you feel, to the Motherwell team, John?
Yeah, he's massively vital. Not just for the speed, as you say, he can play multiple positions, not just the goals. His link-up play is massively improved under Jens. I understand the player's perspective of, OK, I might not get this move again, I might get injured. From a club perspective, I would say, if we look at David Turnbull before, he got a big knee injury, got the surgery and came back, and Celtic paid the same money. It's, for me, it's not very often that Murrell's in this kind of position, this luxury. As you say, the manager might not be here next season. Very unlikely that clubs won't come in for him. So why not hold on and go all out and for 1 year and go for it?
The only thing I'll say, John, I'm sure the manager's come out on record and said, look, no player will be leaving in the transfer window. And look, he'll get his wish, because
a lot of managers said that in the past.
Is the problem the finances business there, though? Because there becomes a point where Motherwell can't say no.
It depends on the money. Of course, everybody's got their price. But Motherwell are no longer one of these clubs that sit back and let the big clubs just come and take their players for cheap now. There's a couple of things that's happened. One, they've got the Lennon Miller money in. Their gates are up incredible. You know, they're getting 7,000-8,000 at Fir Park. And that's not just against Celtic and Rangers. That's against teams like Kilmarnock and St Mirren or whatever it may be. So the fans are flocking back. There's no doubt in that. So right now, Motherwell aren't really in a position where they need to be desperate to get the money in. But I go back to it. If the money's right and it's an offer that they couldn't refuse, then they'd need to have a real good look at it.
Well, thank you to John. Let's go back around the grounds. Two big games tonight, starting with Porto against Rangers. Gabriel Antoniazzi's in Portugal.
Yeah, Andrew, Rangers already out of the tournament, just playing for pride. Danny Rule's named a strong side, and he'd certainly take a draw here, looking to keep their momentum going. They've won 8 in a row and would love to end their Europa League campaign with a victory before fully focusing on domestic matters. But Porto have not lost since before Christmas. They've won 10 of their last 11 games. It's all set up very nicely here. 5 changes for Rangers. I'll quickly run through that team again. Butland, Arons, Tavernier, Giga, Fernandez, Magoma, Raskin, Diomande, Curtis, Gassama and Shimiti. Just under 3,000 Rangers supporters inside the Dragao here. They've been singing Danny Rule's name for over an hour already. They believe kickoff is 5 minutes away.
And very quickly, let's go to Celtic Park to get the final bit of preview with Tom Grant.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, it's a chilly old night here at Celtic Park, but we aren't far off a full house. So those teams again, it's Schmeichel, Donovan, Scales, Trusty, Tierney at the back, Negan, McGregor, Engels, Tanecki and Yang, either side of Maeda. And forget all the permutations. These Celtic players know a win and they extend their participation in the Europa League. We're minutes away from kick-off.
Yeah, sounding lively at Celtic Park, and you've got work to do on this teaser. Can you name the 7 players who have played the most games with Barry Bannon and also played for either Celtic or Rangers so far? You have Josh Windass, Ross Wallace, Gary Hooper, Jadon Gassama and Charlie Adam. You are looking for one defender that played for Celtic and Sheffield Wednesday.
We're looking for a Rangers one as well.
And you're looking for a Rangers defender.
Alan Hutton.
Alan Hutton is correct. Scotland and Aston Villa, he played.
Right. Yeah.
Celtic defender, Sheffield Wednesday, played 73 times together. Was it Celtic between 2008 and 2012?
It's no Palmer.
We're going to have to go initials, aren't we? G-L.
Glenn Louvins.
Glenn Louvins is correct. Right, that is all we've got time for tonight. However, we will have all the reaction to tonight's games tomorrow. We will find out who Celtic's potential opponents would be in the next round of the Europa League if they get through. We'll see if there are any developments in the transfer window. But thank you for all your calls tonight and for tuning in. Thank you to Gordon Dalziel and to Jim Duffy. And it's Callum Gallagher who is up next.